We're going to enter into our message this morning with a song that Dan sent us. It's called Weep With Me, and it's a song that's very much in the tradition of the psalmists. And so not all the psalms, if you read through them, are songs that are joyful, dancing, happy songs. There are some that said, you know, my God, you know, why have you forsaken me? And the psalmists there are not doing this out of a place of hopelessness, but in fact, there is hope in their despair, and that is that they know that in the light of God, all those worries and fears and woes are washed away. And so we know that when we hurt, God weeps with us, and that's what this song's about.
true in the light, still true in the dark. You're good and you're kind, and you care for my heart. Lord, I believe that you weep with me.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are truth. And what's true in the light is still true in the dark. That whatever we might be facing, whatever we go through, God, you strengthen us. God, we thank you for other people that come along beside us and encourage us, comfort. And strengthen. God, we thank you that you're not distant, that you know what it's like to have all kinds of joy, but also deep sorrow. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that strengthens us, that allows us to continue moving forward as your people. So God, as I speak this message about why church, and we talk about how life happens and how we're to encourage one another, God, I ask that your word would come through. God, help me to get out of the way of it. God, we love you and we thank you, and we together open up our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to what you might have to say to us today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What a beautiful song. Thank you, Matt, so much for that and that time. Well, we are going on in our sermon series on why church. And we've been discovering these different ways and lifting up these different ways. I was so inspired this morning by our children's video, all about why church. And all those reasons were so good that some of them really wanted to see their friends, and others of them felt closer to God when they were here. That we were created to worship. I love that. All the wonderful reasons. And this morning our reason for why church, a lack of a better way of saying it, is because life happens, right? Life happens, like it or not. Life is gonna happen, and that means that's kind of a way of saying that there's gonna be all kinds of joys, but also sorrows. That life is a mixture of these things, and one of the beautiful gifts of community is that we get to share our lives together, and as life happens, and sometimes there are things to celebrate, and we love this, you know, celebrations, birthdays, accomplishments. Walking with one another through really important, good things that happen and sharing that, that's part of life. And how we're not alone in those things, we get to call a friend and celebrate those things together, and that's beautiful. One of the gifts is that we can relate to others at different points in life, different times in life, and that's a wonderful thing, to know that what is it like to have little kids and see them growing up in the church. I mean, I love that. And there's other friends of mine that they're in a different chapter in life. Maybe their kids have grown up and moved on, and they have a very different chapter right now. And our family, we don't know what that's like personally. And so seeing someone that can say, you know, the advice that was given to us as our kids were really little was that it just flies by, and we know that, but still we, you know, Now it's flown by, and my kids are older, and I find friends of mine that are just now having babies, and I don't want to say it, but then I find myself saying, "Hey, cherish every minute because it flies by." You know, and all different points in life, different people that can relate to things, but life is full of surprises and full of things that we don't necessarily expect or plan for, and sometimes we can go through really dark times, and we need to be strengthened. We need encouragement to go through those times, and not only do we need that from others, but we also need to give that encouragement. So today, as I talk about the reason why church, because life happens, it's about encouraging, strengthening, and comforting one another through all the different seasons and all the different times that in life, because life happens. And that's the reason why church, because we encourage one another. It's nice to know that we are not alone and that we can be open and honest with God about what's really happening. And we come from a long, long, long history of people doing that. The Bible is filled with all kinds of wonderful, joyful scriptures, but there's also the scriptures that you might pray and you might think about when you're in a difficult time, in a time of real pain. Life is filled with pain, and you know, I personally do everything I can naturally to avoid pain. You know, what do you do with it? Do you hide it? You cover it up? Sometimes things that are painful are hard to talk about. You know, and we'd rather just say, "Yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. Yeah, things are okay." But really, what is it that's really going on? And to really be honest with ourselves about that. This Psalm 31 is one that really speaks to this. It's such an open, honest prayer where the psalmist says, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak." The Message translates this: "I've cried my eyes out. I feel hollow inside." We know what that's like. The first point that I want to make is that God hears our cries. We know that to be true about who God is. We remember when God's people were slaves in Egypt, and God heard their crying out and spoke to Moses through the bush. He says, "I've heard the cries of my people, and I'm sending you." God hears our cries when we're in distress. I think about Jesus knowing what it's like, and God in Christ knowing what it's like to go through all of the ups and downs of life, these wonderful passages of Jesus and the joy that he would have experienced. This one passage that I think of almost daily is at the end of the story of Jesus' birth, when it just sums up these years. It says, "The child grew in wisdom and in stature and in community, in favor with God and with one another." And I think that's our story too. But Jesus felt all the pain that a human can feel. And as we enter into this season of Lent, into Holy Week, we get reminded once again, and it's hard to even really figure out what's the hardest part about it. Is it his friends betraying him? Is it the humiliation? Is it the religious establishment? Is it the mock trial or the torture? Or Jesus hanging on the cross, feeling this pain? But I think of all of those things, the one thing that just breaks my heart is when Jesus cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we know that this is from Psalm 22. And we know that if we continue reading in Psalm 22, that it ends well, that there's a victory at the end. But in that moment, I believe that Jesus felt what all of us will feel at one time or another. And that's that we're abandoned by God. God feeling the absence of God may be the moment where God can relate the most to us. This moment that wasn't spared from God's life in Christ Jesus, that God knows what that's like. I think there's great comfort in that. What Christ wanted for his followers, for his disciples, was that they would be encouraged, that they would be strengthened. And so he gathered them around in John's gospel, in John 14 and 15. It's called the Farewell Discourse. And he says, I won't be with you. I'm going to do what I have to do. But the encourager will come. The comforter will come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the word that the Bible uses for encouragement is the word parakaleo. Paraklete is one way of rendering this. And this is the word that's used for what the Holy Spirit does. But it's our word for encouragement. It could mean to strengthen or to comfort those that are needing to be comforted. There is a way that this happens, that this looks, and it's when it's given as a gift, this gift of encouragement, of strengthening, it's mutual. It's a mutual thing. There's this beautiful passage in Romans when Paul writes to the church in Rome and he's longing to see them. And he tells them why. He says this. He says, I long to see you that I might impart, that I might give you some spiritual gift to make you strong. So that's the first part. And you can almost imagine he's thinking about the church and he's thinking about how they need to be strengthened. And he's like, I want to give you this. I want to see you so that I can encourage you in this way and give you this gift. But then it's almost as if he stops right there in the middle and he says, wait a minute. It's not a one-way thing. It's not that I have this gift to encourage you. It's going to be mutual. I'm going to receive this too. He goes on to say, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I think about how our faith is strengthened in community. We are mutually encouraged by one another's faith. I know this has been true in my life. And maybe it was even true in your life this morning as you watched the kids on the video. You were like, that's it. That's yeah. That's why. You know? And then how as we go and we do this work of raising our children in the church, it's a mutual thing for the teachers to say, these kids, they believe, they understand, they get it, these light bulbs are turning on, and it's not this gift that we're just giving the kids, it's a gift that we're receiving from them as well. This happens in my experience. This has happened in my experience when I've studied the Bible, when I've had this opportunity to study with folks that were like my grandparents' age, and they're in a whole different stage in life, and I've learned so much. There was a gentleman that I used to study the Bible with, and we set a Bible study together. And it was going to be in the mornings, and I was just so excited that I could use part of my working day to study the Bible with this older gentleman who was leading the class. And we had this Bible study at like 9 in the morning, and nobody showed up but my friend Tom. And I remember coming in and trying to unlock the door and finding the key, and Tom would say these cool things. He was like, well, son, you got the keys to the kingdom. Like, yeah, I do, all these keys, I guess, to the church, to the kingdom. And I would study with him, and I would learn from him, but also I got the sense that he was learning from me, too. He said, well, what did you learn about it? And I would tell him, and it was like this, he had the openness to learn from a kid, his grandson's age, mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I was at a funeral this past week, and there was a daughter of the person that had died. Her mom had just died, and as the folks are coming in to do the to greet the family, this one lady said, I'm so sorry, I lost my mom this past December, and I know that your story's different from mine, but I want you to know that I relate to what you're going through. We're going to get through it. Just want you to know I love you. And they hugged, and I'm standing back and watching all this, and it's like you can see the spirit on both of them, this palpable, encouraging energy of being together and going through something like that. I'm encouraged by other people's faith. It's a mutual thing. I have a friend that's new to the faith, that's relatively new to the faith, and she knows who she is, and she's in, it's been so exciting because she's learning these things and knowing these things, and she's so excited, and I get to see it from a whole different point of view. I've been a Christian my whole life, and she's just beginning that journey of knowing who Christ is, and I'm encouraged by her faith. And then her husband had cancer, and he went to be with Jesus, and we went through that, and my faith was strengthened by watching all of that unfold and seeing the way that they loved one another and the way that she's continuing to daily say, God, this is in your hands, and I trust you. Mutually encouraged. That's the thing about encouragement. The other thing about encouragement is that it builds up. Strengthening builds up. There's this verse when Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. And then he stops and says, just as you are doing. See, even the verse has this bit of encouragement to it. You know, do this. Build one another up. Oh, and by the way, I know that some of you guys are doing this. Great job. I just want to give you some encouragement right here in the same verse that I'm asking you to do this. Build one another up. And sometimes we have to be careful because there are things that we do and things that I know I do with my kids that don't build them up. You know, it's just me reacting to this thing that they should have done differently. But as I you know, fussed at them for this thing or imitated their whiny voices. That's one thing that I vow not to do. When a kid comes up and whines at me, it's tempting to just whine right back at them. But that's not building them up. That's just hurtful. And I begin to understand that this is not a habit that I should have as a dad. I am being strengthened by them in that way. Because it builds up, right? How am I as a dad? Do I mock? Do I put down? Do I belittle? I hope not. In times when I have, I can turn around and change that direction, which is a beautiful thing to think about. Yeah. This is our work together. Because, friends, life happens, you know, don't it? There's a phrase, you know, stuff happens. Or you get cruder than that. Life happens. You know, for good, for bad. And before long, we're going to need to be built up. And before long, we're going to see somebody else that's going to need some of that building up. That's our work as people in the faith. I wanted to close by reading this prayer from Romans, and And it's this. He begins Romans 15, by the way, the closing section of Romans. He begins closing and saying goodbye and ending the letter. But it's like he can't really seem to find a way to land the plane because he keeps going for two more chapters. If you read in Romans, you read through Romans. Oh, it ends there. No, two more chapters. Got to thank everybody. But he starts in chapter 15. He says, those of us that are strong and able in the faith, we need to step up and lend a hand to those that falter and not just do what's most convenient for us. Then he goes on to the prayer. And this is the way it reads in the NIV. He says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever I read this, I've told you this before, but my Bible is super thick, but it's not because it's got much more in it. It's because it's large print, and I need that encouragement that I can be strengthened enough to read it. But it also has in the pages there are there's the NIV translation, but there's also the Message translation, and I always like to read them beside each other because when I read the Message, sometimes it becomes a little more clear. And so I'd like to end, and maybe this is your prayer as well. It's a prayer from Romans in the Message. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you will get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. And then we'll be a choir. Not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. Turn my lament into a love song, the song said. Turn my lament from this lament, raise up an anthem. Because what's true in the light is still true in the dark. You're good and you're kind and you care for this heart. And that you're not alone in what you go through, that our Lord shares in our joys and our sorrows. And that we as a church, we share in each other's joys and each other's sorrows too. In Jesus' name.